Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Wherever you are, thanks for joining us on the journey today.
Well, we welcome all of our listeners, and we're going to wrap up a series today. We've called this Tips for Marriage, and we're looking at some aspects of marriage that just practical advice, some help for them. And this is part five in this series. We've talked about the idea of faith. I think that's the first and most important aspect into a marriage that you can give advice to. Then we talked about finances, and then we talked about family. Last time we talked about the future from Proverbs 31, that the proverb talked about the virtuous woman, and she could smile at the future, her spirit and her attitude. I want to wrap up the series by talking about the subject of frustrations, and that's kind of something that happens a lot. People get disappointed in such things, and so we're going to just kind of walk down this road of frustrations in marriage, talk about some things that hopefully will be helpful for you. Before we get into this, I was just thinking about this a moment ago, Jason, that you know, we're into the seasons of weddings, and there's a lot of people that get married in the next 2 or 3 months, and there's always those registries, and we buy them towels and pillows and toasters and all kinds of stuff. Maybe one of the gifts you can give somebody is this series.
Yeah.
And just practical things. Not that Jason and I have all the answers, but between the two of us, we've been married over 70 years combined. And what we see with this is here are the things that we think that the people of God have to deal with. And to get some advice, and for a young couple starting off, probably better than a toaster is going to die in 5 years. Maybe some things will get them thinking spiritually and will help them. And so we'd encourage you to think about doing that. And if you got somebody in your family who's about to get married or has just gotten married, why don't you just sit down with them or point them to this series and say, here's some things that might help you with that. So frustrations in marriage, and when that happens, it's just not a good day because people are upset with each other. And let's just run through a little list here of why people get frustrated. One of the first things is they get frustrated with each other. Sometimes our expectations are not realistic. And so she comes home, he comes home, he's had a hard day, and he just wants to sit in a chair and watch ESPN. And that's not how she thought her Prince Charming would be. And maybe he thought the Queen would come home and cook this fabulous meal, but she wants to go out, and he doesn't want to go out. And they get frustrated with each other. And sometimes our expectations are not centered to where they should be. Other frustrations come about when we start comparing where we are with another couple, particularly another couple about the same age. And maybe they make more money. They drive nicer cars. They go on better vacations than we can afford. And that's frustrating. Why do they do that and we can't do that? And that little comparison can kind of just chip at each other and create all kinds of difficulties. I think a third area of frustrations is just troubles in life. Job troubles, and you bring those home, and things are just not well jobs. Sometimes it's church problems, and there's a lot of tension there, and just a lot of the avenues of life that just causes a lot of heartache and sorrow. That can be frustrating in the marriage because you don't have all the answers for those. And then I think the fourth area of frustrations is realizing that we are a work in progress. And even as disciples, we're sinners who are trying to live together, and we have strengths and we have weaknesses. And sometimes it's those weaknesses that cause frustrations. You know, why are you not this way, or why are you not this way? And all we can focus upon is the failures and the weaknesses, and that can get somebody very disappointed. And we need to say that when a person is frustrated, they usually don't stay there very long. And that can lead to the thought and the idea of, I want out of this relationship. And that's not what God wants. And so we need to really talk about and look at these things. And so, Jason, let me kick it to you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioning we need to talk about these things. You know, it seems like a lot of times when these expectations are unmet or they are unrealistic,
they are frequently unexpressed. And that is just a recipe for a really unhealthy situation. I don't know what it is, but it seems like a lot of times with expectations, I have them, but I'm not going to verbalize them. I hold on to them, but I'm not going to express them. And then when they're not recognized or they're not respected the way that I think they should be, or there's not change that comes about, even though I didn't say anything about it, I just get more frustrated. And Roger, I'm sure your situation has been similar to mine. Sometimes you sit down, let's say with a young couple who is really, I mean, they're like two pieces of sandpaper together at the moment, and they're just really rubbing each other the wrong way. And the first time they really start expressing their frustrations or their expectations is when they're sitting down with someone else. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. We talk a lot on this podcast about leaning on others, leaning on more experienced brothers and sisters in Christ. But a whole lot of this sure does seem to revolve around, if I have expectations of my spouse, need to talk about that. If there are unrealistic expectations being placed on me, we need to talk about that. It's more than just having something in my mind that I expect. It is having that healthy communication that helps us to work through the frustrations.
Yeah, and we're going to come back to this when we talk about some practical helps in a minute. But that's a typical picture in a marriage when there's things not going right. The husband walks into a room and he can tell by the tension something's not right. And he asks his wife, is something wrong? And she goes, yes. And he says, why? And she goes, you know. And then there's silence,
and he really doesn't know.
And his brain's thinking, okay, is it her birthday? Is it our event? I mean, he's running through a list of things, and he is clueless. And that just frustrates the wife even more, because you're supposed to know, and he doesn't know. So we'll talk about some of that in just a minute. But when we talk about this broad topic of frustration, as we do with all issues in life, we ought to go to the Bible and see what the Bible addresses about these things. And so one of the first questions come to my mind, pitch it back to you, Jason, was, do you think Jesus was ever frustrated?
Yeah, absolutely I do. Now, his frustration may not look like the last time I saw someone frustrated at the grocery store or at a stoplight in traffic when someone didn't start rolling forward as quickly as this person thinks they should have. But there are words in the Bible that refer to Jesus being, let's say, angry or indignant, Jesus rebuking. Sometimes it was scribes and Pharisees who were simply trying to trap him in his words, and eventually he was so provoked that he describes them as whitewashed tombs and encourages his disciples on more than one occasion to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. There are other times that he rebuked his own disciples. And so you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He definitely got frustrated. What specific examples come to your mind?
Well, here in Mark chapter 8, we've had the feeding of the 5,000. Then in verse 9 of Mark 8, it says that he fed the 4,000. And so we've had these two massive miracles. And then just coming right after that, in verse 14 of same chapter, Mark 8, they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And he's given them orders, saying to them, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? Within the same chapter, who fed 4,000? Jesus. Right before this, who fed 5,000? Jesus. We only have one loaf. So what? You got Jesus. Do you think he was frustrated? He was frustrated, thinking, why don't you guys get this? And again, that comes time and time again.
Yeah, I think even when he stood outside of the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11, as you read the language there, he's sad, but there's also something going on deep in his spirit. And we need to listen to the words that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John used to describe. He was not a two-dimensional figure. Of course, was God with us, God in the flesh, but he was also human. The epistles go on to describe how he was tempted in every way that we are. And I would suggest that is tempted towards unrighteous anger, tempted toward self-centered frustration, like all of us, yet without sin. And I think that's the key, right? There were times that he got frustrated with the disciples. We read a time when James and John decided, well, maybe it's time to call down fire from heaven and consume a village of the Samaritans. And Jesus turned and he rebuked them. Sometimes it was with the religious authorities. Jesus knew what it was to be frustrated, or one of our older English translations might render it vexed. The question is, how did he process that and deal with it?
And that's the key. We don't ever find Jesus exploding. We don't ever find him coming back the next day and having to apologize for things I said. We don't find him punching somebody, okay? That's what we humans do, and that's the mistakes and sins that lead to us. What he did is he stayed the course.
Yeah.
He would teach, and he would teach. So like right here in Mark chapter 8, when they didn't get this idea that you have Jesus, but we only have one loaf. It really doesn't matter. He was using that for a teaching moment. There at the tomb of Lazarus, it's a teaching moment. There when the disciples were arguing who's the greatest among us, Jesus turned that to a teaching moment. So one of the things he would use when he was frustrated was get them back to where you need to be. And he would teach them and remind them and teach them and show them. And that's important to see. It's easy for us to say, well, Jesus was frustrated, I'm frustrated, and just leave it at that. It's important to understand, how did he handle his frustrations?
Yeah.
And that's the key that a couple needs to see in their marriages. Yes, there'll be days you'll be frustrated. That's reality. That's life. But what do you do with that, and how do you handle that, really shows the maturity and the heart and the faith that you ought to have within you.
It's what the book of Proverbs refers to as ruling your own spirit. Let me just read a couple of these to add to the discussion as we pivot from Jesus to couples and individuals. Proverbs 14, verse 29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Jesus got angry, yes, but he did not have what Proverbs 14 describes as a hasty temper. Or Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Many times we read about Jesus providing soft answers. We don't see him using harsh words, just stirring up unrighteous anger. Or Proverbs 15:18, a hot tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Or one more in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Roger, as we take into account those bits of wisdom and pivot back to tips for marriage, what do you think we can learn from those?
Well, you know, one of the first things that comes out of those Proverbs verses is the choices we make. Yeah. The ruling of the spirit is up to me. And so I may be frustrated, I may be upset, I may be angry, but it's up to me to control that spirit. And when I don't, I'll say things that later on I have to apologize for or I'll regret. I'll say some things that will create more problems because I burst out without thinking. And so the ruling of the spirit is up to us and the individual to do that. So some practical things we would put into this discussion is, first of all, frustrations can lead to healthy changes. And that can be good. We would love to have an ideal life where we're never frustrated, but that doesn't happen. And so whether it's with each other, whether it's our country, whether it's work or something, there's always frustrations. But that can lead to positive changes by getting into discussions and seeking some positive solutions about that. Now, to be frustrated and to stay there and to never change, that's not a good place to be. That will just make us sour and negative. But by having open discussions, it can lead to some good things out of that.
Yeah, it leads to what the writer of Hebrews describes as a root of bitterness. There is a difference between being frustrated and being bitter, right? But if that frustration isn't addressed, if that frustration just continues to boil and it is undiscussed, it is just lingering there and being meditated upon and just boiling beneath the surface, that's where it can morph and grow into much more serious bitterness.
Absolutely. It's like mold on a wall or something. It doesn't go away. It's just going to get worse. And so it has to be dealt with in a positive way. Now, we've already mentioned this, but open communication is the key. We can assume that my mate needs to know. You need to know. Well, they're not mind readers. Only Jesus could read the heart of somebody. And so we need to be able to discuss it. And in the avenue of discussing, it's not shouting, it's not nagging. You know, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about nagging. And it's like the constant drip, or it's better to live up in the attic than to live with somebody who's nagging. And so how you communicate this in a way in which it can be understood and you can discuss, but you're not just telling the other person, here's what frustrates me, but I've got to be open to listen and to understand and come together on these things. And again, it may be that my expectations are not realistic. And maybe in this communication, that's going to be aligned where it should be, and that should help me with that.
Yeah, James chapter 1, verse 19, every person is called to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If my spouse has worked up the nerve to express some real frustration with something that's going on in life, I need to turn off the basketball game. I need to stop what I'm doing. That's a time for undivided attention. It is a time to be quick to hear. That, I think, Roger, you bringing up how we listen is a really important point there.
It is. And then that leads to the next point, and that is work together. Help each other. I mean, sometimes we just throw, you know, we want to vent our frustrations, and I expect you to do all the changes. I'm upset with this because you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, you leave your clothes all over the floor, you do this, you do this, you know, whatever. And I'm upset with that. But we don't work together, and I expect you to do all the changing. Well, that doesn't go very far. And so work together on this. Come up with some solutions to help each other. And again, it's a process that's going to lead us to getting a better relationship with each other with that.
Yeah, I think listening, voicing the frustrations, receiving the frustrations, whatever part of this equation I'm in any given moment, thinking about what Jesus would do, how Jesus would respond, how Jesus would express this, how Jesus would be willing perhaps even to sacrifice some of his own rights or freedoms or luxuries in order to meet that person and help that person where they are. If we can keep our focal point throughout all of this, whether really this entire series, whether we're talking about faith or finances or family or future, if we can keep Jesus at the center, sure does seem like that's the key.
And then the final thing I would recommend is, as you grow and age through time, things that kind of bother you now. Sometimes later on they don't. You look back and you think, why was I so upset about that? I mean, it's no big deal. You know, the kids didn't pick up all the toys when they went to bed, and you know, my house doesn't look like one of those magazine pictures, and you know, everything shines, everything's perfect. And you find out later on, is that really what it's all about? You know, the most important thing is where we are as a family, how close we are to Jesus. And so I think maturity and age helps you with some of these things, and they just realize sometimes our frustrations really are just nothing, and we can kind of work through those as we just grow as God wants us to in these things.
Perspective, right? I mean, there is a way to put your thumb in front of the sun, and it almost looks like your thumb is bigger than the sun. But that's not really the case. We understand. And as we grow, as we mature, as we dwell with each other in understanding and grow to be the disciples that God is helping us grow to be, those frustrations can be put in perspective. And we're not alone. That's one of the big joys of being married, is that we are not alone. But even as a young couple or a middle-aged couple or an older couple, we're not alone. We have others on this great journey of life with us. And ultimately, the greatest bridegroom of all is with us. And so, Roger, I really appreciate you walking through these tips for marriage. It's been good for me, and I especially appreciate your idea that this is a cost-free gift that any of us can pass along to others as well. And so thanks to all of you for listening to today's episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast and this whole little series. Lord willing, next Friday we'll have a brand new series for the new month of April. But in the meantime, we hope our conversation has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.